morning. Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now in like change, I speak to you as to children, open wide to us also. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? We are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty.
I'd like to say good morning to everyone as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. And if you're visiting with us, I want to let you know you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful for you being here on this morning. I want us to take our focus to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want us to focus in on verse number 18. The reason why I want us to focus in on verse number 18 is because of the phrase, I will be a father to you. I want us, if we can, to focus in on this from a spiritual perspective. Because God wants to be our father. He wants to be the one that governs our thinking. He wants to be the one that activates our souls, to cause us to think, to help us to live. I don't want us to look at this from a physical perspective. I don't want you to think about your earthly father. I want you to think about your spiritual father, your father in heaven. The Bible teaches us on many occasions that God is our father. In James 1:17, he's the father of lights. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse number 9, he's the father of spirits. We consider more passages like Ephesians 1:17, and he's the father of glory. Most importantly, he is the father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, verse 14. When you think of the Father in heaven, you think of the one that gave seed. When we consider the seed, number one, we think about Jesus Christ, Galatians 3. But we also consider the Word of God, Luke 8, verse 11. Friends, I want us to keep this in mind because the Father that sits high and looks low, Psalm 113, is the one that desires for us to live with him throughout eternity. Unfortunately, there will be many who will not live with God throughout eternity. Jesus came and he gave some very important information to us. He said, few be there that find it. Few be there that find the Father, that find eternal life, that find glory. I'm thankful that we're here this morning because we have given ourselves an opportunity to be with Jesus Christ, to be with his people, to learn more about the Father which is in heaven. Because this Father who is in heaven always looks out what is best for our thoughts, our emotions, our ambitions. He wants to bless us with eternal life. He wants us to live with him. So what he does is he has given us his word. And no wonder when we consider his word, in Philippians 4 and verse number 7, he desires to guard our hearts, our minds, our conscience, our will, our volition, our emotions. He desires to protect our souls. Matthew 10 verse 28. He desires to preserve our lives unto that heavenly glory or kingdom. 2 Timothy 4 verse 18. He desires to nourish our minds with the bread of life. Remember, under the Mosaic system, when God fed the people of God manna that fell from heaven, and Jesus said, "I am that bread of life." John 6 verse 27. He desires to uphold our hearts, meaning he desires to support us, defend us against all opposition and criticism. Psalm 84 and verse number 11. God wants to be our Father. He wants to be the one that nourishes us, guides us, strengthens us, encourages us. I said all that to say this. The very fact that God desires to do that means that it doesn't matter what no one on the face of the earth does to you. The Corinthians, this particular congregation started in Acts chapter 18. Paul started this congregation. Very interesting how they began, but I don't have time to deal with all of that. But when you consider the book of 1 Corinthians, this particular congregation had many problems, yet they had some good things going on too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it was about following preachers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, they were following the wisdom of men, and the Apostle Paul had to contrast that with the wisdom that came forth from God. In essence, when you consider 1 Corinthians 1 and 1 Corinthians 2, he brings up a very powerful point in verse 23 and 24, and he says that Christ is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God. In chapter 3 through chapter 6, he's dealing with issues concerning the church. In chapter 6, they were taking each other to court. In chapter 7, they had questions concerning marriage. And it's interesting, and I love what he said to the unmarried in verse number 32, that your focus is upon the Lord and being holy. But to the married, he said that your focus is upon the world and how you may please your spouse. In chapter 8, he said, do not violate one another's conscience. When you get to chapter 12 through chapter 14, he's dealing with spiritual gifts and love and the regulation of those spiritual gifts. In chapter 15, he deals with the resurrection and how some were denying that Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead. You know, for those of us who are of the seed of the Father, we detest that. Because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith would be nothing. Chapter 16, he ends that glorious book by telling them that they needed to be a people who gave themselves over to the Lord. But then he transitions into chapter 2, or the second book of Corinthians. And in chapters 1, chapters 2, chapters 3, he's dealing with forgiveness and how they was failing to forgive a brother who had had his father's wife in chapter 5. And Paul said, do not allow Satan to use this, because we're not ignorant of his devices. And then in chapter 3, he's dealing with some other things because he had to defend his apostleship. In essence, they were saying, you shouldn't listen to the apostle Paul because, number one, he is not even an apostle. He's not inspired by God, but the apostle Paul says, yes, I am. And he proves it. And then when you get to chapter 5 and 6, he says, be reconciled to the Father. And you know what happened? What God did? God sent forth his Son to reconcile man back to him. Why? Because he wanted to be a father. He wanted to be one that nourished and cherished and honored and eventually glorify his people. So we get into chapter 6. And I want us to notice chapter 6 and verse number 11, because God wants to be a father. In chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, first point, open your hearts. Paul is pleading with the people at Corinth to open your hearts. I was talking to the young people in our morning Bible class, and we was talking about Josiah and how Josiah had a tender heart. He listened to the Father. Here we see in verses 11 through 13, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, meaning that we were transparent. We didn't hide anything. And one thing about the Apostle Paul and one thing about Jesus Christ, they lay everything open and bare, and you have to make a decision. We have to make a decision if we're going to accept the information that God has given us. So he says, open your heart. We lay everything bare unto you. Acts 20 and verse 27. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2. But notice what he says. Our heart is open wide. You are not restricted by us. You're not restricted by our message, but you're restricted by your own lust, your own affections. The problem with the Corinthians is that they did not want to come out from among the people in whom they were around. They were putting God in a position where God had to share his people. God doesn't share. God doesn't share. And the reason why God doesn't share is because God has done all that he could do in order to save man from their sins. And because of that, he doesn't have to share. He is in a league all by himself. I remember on one occasion, I was looking online, and a guy, he posted a picture of Jesus and the devil arm wrestling. And I said, that picture is false. And the reason why that picture is false is because Jesus has no rival. Colossians chapter 1, he has all preeminence. There is no one on the face of the earth that can give Jesus a test. When we consider, he's telling them, open your hearts wide unto us. Open your hearts wide unto the word of God, but you have been restricted by your own affections. Now in return, notice, for the same, I speak as children. You also be open. Now notice how Paul is telling the Corinthians, I want you to be open to us. I want you to be open to what God's word has to say. It's interesting in James 1 and verse number 14, there the Bible teaches us that every man is drawn away by their own lust and enticed. What does that mean to us? That means that if anything is getting between me and God, I put it there. I thought about that and been thinking about this all week. And as I was thinking about this, Paul is pleading with the people of God at Corinth, open wide to us. You know, it is the same plea today. Young people, older people, parents, open wide to the Father. Allow your hearts to be tender, that God can work with your heart. In Colossians chapter 3, the first three verses, you'll see something very interesting that Paul is talking to the church at Colossae. He says, if then, literally in the Greek, since then, you were raised, resurrected with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections on things that are above, not things on the earth. Why? You died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, question. Have you been baptized into Christ? Have all of your sins been washed away? Are you a member of the church of Christ? If so, since so, your affections must be to the Father. Friends, I thought about this and been thinking about this. The more that I think about this, my heart needs to be open even more to the Lord. And sometimes we restrict ourselves because of the things that we desire to do, our affections. And friends, all of us struggle in those areas. But the more that we come to worship, The more that we come to Bible class, the more that we hang around those who are of a like precious faith, 2 Peter 1. Friends, our hearts become tender and moldable that God can use us and that we can be a benefit to the people around us. Be open, he says. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. You know, God is not saying, listen to this, God is not saying, you come and then you come and reason with me. No, God is saying, this is the way it's going to be and you fall in line. Keep in mind, he's talking to a people who are about to go into Assyrian captivity. And they're already were lost. They were already on their way gone. God says, you need to open up yourself to me. This is the way it's going to be. God is not saying, come, let's make a deal. God don't make deals. God says, this is the way it's going to be. And you know what? It's interesting. He has that right. God has the right to tell men and women how it's going to be. Why? He's the creator of the universe. He's the one that gave us the times and the seasons, Genesis 8, verse 22. He's the one that created us in his image, Genesis 1, 26. He is the one who is the father of spirits, Hebrews chapter 12. And because of that, God tells us what to do. We don't tell God what to do. Be open unto us. Be open unto us. Jesus would say it like this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Are you tired? I believe that the Corinthians were so engulfed in sin that they became tired that Paul had to say, open up to us. Open your hearts to us. Why? Because if you do that, you will receive a blessing from God. Give the Lord your entire being, Jesus would say, Matthew 22:37-40. Harden not your hearts as in the day of rebellion, Hebrews 3 and verse number 7. Listen to instruction and live. But then notice verses 14 through verse number 16. Now this is interesting here. The first point is be open. The second point is watch your company. Friends, show me your friends. And I'll show you your future. Think about that. When you're a friend of Jesus, I can show you your future. It's heaven with God. Amen? It's heaven with God, friends. And we have to believe that. Look at verses 14 through 17. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? Now, to my Greek students, you would think this is the Greek word koinonia. It's not. This word here is sharing. It's not joint participation. And Paul is making a very distinct, clear point here for a reason. Why? Because he wants God's people to be sharing, but he wants them to share with the right people. The right ideas, the right ideologies, the right mentality. Notice what he says. For what sharing has righteousness with lawlessness? When you think of someone who is lawless, you think of someone who is illegal. Friends, we want to be legal. The way that we're legal is by abiding in the word of God. John 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth. It shall make you free. When we abide in the word of God, we remain legal. When we get outside of the word of God, we become illegal. Now think about that. God wants us to be a people who are legal. Therefore, we watch our company. Be not unequally yoked, meaning unjust, unfair, unequal. Not the same in amount nor quality and quantity. When we consider this, friends, notice what he goes on to say. And what communion, there's our word koinonia. What fellowship. When we think about this word fellowship, it's very interesting. Because in that, that's a joint participation. This is one who makes up their mind to go halves with someone. You know, when we are going half, you know, maybe on a meal or half in gas or half in whatever, I'm going to go half. I'm going to go joint with you. Let me go ahead and say this. This is free. You ain't got to pay me for this one. You know, when a husband is the man of his house, there's no halves. He's the head. He's not half-headed. I know that's good teaching right there. He's the head. God made him the head. He's not a half the head. And you know, we say sometimes with my wife, she's the neck. She turns me. And we do stuff like that. No. He's the head. Just like Jesus is the head. Jesus is not half head of the church. He's the head of the church, Ephesians 1. Friends, we have to keep that in mind. When we consider this joint sharing, notice, what communion, what joint sharing has light with darkness? None. The people of God has no sharing with darkness whatsoever. And what concord, now think about this word concord, what harmony has Christ with Belial? Now Belial, it literally means worthless. It's another name for Satan. What harmony has Christ with Satan? The answer is none. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? None. What agreement? Now, notice that word agreement. What percentage, what resemblance has these two together? None. And that's Paul's point. He's saying that the people of God should have no halves, no participation, no harmony, no percentage, no resemblance with that which God himself has none with. Now think about this. Do you understand what that means for us as Christians? We live in a time today where people think that Christianity is just a walk in the park. Friends, it's not. It's work. It's the narrow way. It's the congested way. It's a difficult way. And Jesus said, few be there that find it. Hold on. In order for me to find something, I got to be looking for it. So here Paul, as he is bringing out these great points, he said, hey, what are y'all looking for? And whatever you're looking for, it should have no dealings with that, that God himself wouldn't have no dealings with. It's interesting that he would say that. So we got to watch the news that we watch, CNN, Fox, all that stuff that we watch. We have to watch the people we associate with, the place that we frequent. The place that we go, we need to watch those things. The people that we associate with. Paul tells Timothy to keep thyself pure. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. But then look at verses 17 and 18. It's interesting that this is very, very powerful. Let me back up. Let me look at verse 16 real quick. Got ahead of myself. Notice what he says. The latter part of that. He says, for you are the temple of the living God. Now, a lot of times we want to look at this from a singular perspective. Friends, he's talking about the church itself. Literally in the Greek, y'all are the temple of God. Y'all are where God dwells. When you think about the temple in Jerusalem and how it stood upon the hill and how the people would go into the temple. Friends, God would dwell in the temple and the people would come there and he would dwell amidst his people. So y'all are the temple. It's interesting that as the Lord's church, we're the temple of God. We are where God dwells, and no wonder we remember the Lord's day, Lord's Supper, and his death till he returns. We're given of our means. Why? We're the temple of God, and God says, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. And notice what he says, and it's interesting, and we're going to deal with this on tonight as we talk about the Father some more, because the Father is the focal point, and he says, I'll be their God. Friends, Let's take a step back from this real quick. To the Jew, this was a very important statement. It was important for them to know that Jehovah was their God. I don't think that's something that we consider a lot. That Jehovah is my God. Not my car, not my job, not my spouse, not my children, not my phone, nothing else. Jehovah is my God. There's nothing else on the level with God. And God says, I want to be your God. I want to dwell with you. I want to walk with you. This is a very powerful concept. And six times we find this particular phraseology used in the Old Testament. Six times we find this used. Just going to give you a couple of them because we're going to deal with the rest on tonight. Exodus 29, verse number 45. Leviticus 26, verse 12. Zechariah 8 and verse number 8. We'll look at these later on tonight. But when you look at this, God says, I want to be your God. I want to walk in the midst of you. I want to walk among you. I want to be associated with you. Hold on. Here's the God of heaven, and he wants to dwell with us and walk with us and be with us. Don't he know what we are? Yes, he does. I made you. I love you. I want you to love me. And I want you to love me with everything that you got. I don't want half your love. I don't want 99.9% of your love. I want all of it. And then notice what he says. And they. Notice all these terms that we see. We see them and them and there and they. That's why we know that the temple of the living God, he's talking about the church. I want to be there. I want them to be my people. Friends, God wants us to be his people. Do we understand what that means? Is that he wants us to be associated with him. Friends, is God your focal point? Is the Father your focal point? So notice what Paul says. Verses 17 and 18. Come out from among them. Be separate. Now friends, this is not Paul saying this. This is not Peter saying this. This is not Mark or Luke saying this. This is the Lord saying this. He says, do not touch what is unclean. And notice the promise. I'll receive you. That's encouraging. Because we live in a world today where we're trying to get people to receive us, accept us, like us, love us, adore us, honor us. But hold on, God says, if you come out from among them, I'll take you. When no one else will take you, I'll take you. Wow. You're talking about dealing with depression? There it is. There it is right there. God, are you saying that if I can just leave sin alone, and if you're my focal point, and if I can honor you and focus on you, you'll take me in? I'll get you. I'll take you in. Yes. Brethren, that's powerful. And we got to believe that. And we can be hard-hearted. We can close our hearts to God. We can act like everything is all right when everything is not all right. But truth be told, when I'm received by God, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Verse 18. My favorite part of the sermon right here. I will be a father to you. Wow. I told myself I wasn't going to do this. People, I didn't grow up with my natural father. That man lived 3 hours away from me. I barely saw that man. When I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and someone showed me Hebrews 3 and verse number 4, verse 5, I'm sorry, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I read passages like Romans 8, 31, 1 John 4 and verse number 4, and I said, is this saying what it's really saying? They said, what do you think it's saying? Is this saying that he will never leave me, he'll never abandon me? That's exactly what he's saying. That's why my conviction is what it is. Because the seed that's in me is the seed that came forth from the word of God. And friends, when we get that seed in us, then we talk like our father. We live like our father. We act like our father. We are just like our father. I make the decisions that he would make. Why? His seed is in me. He said, I will be a father to you. Doesn't matter what seed brought you into this world. What matters is the seed is going to take you out of this world back to him. That's the seed that matters. That's good preaching right there. I say amen to my own preaching on that one. You know why? Because friends, we're concerned about the wrong seed. And God has given us a seed. Oh, we would be miserable and people in sin if the Lord of Sabaoth didn't give us a seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. That seed is the word of God. That is the seed that he's talking about right here. God says, I will be your father. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Can you imagine this to a people who were just wrecked in sin? He said, you can come out of that and I will be your father. I will be the one that governs you. I'll be the one that protects you. I'll be one that honors you. I'll be one that will guard you. I will be there for you when no one else is there. I'll be your father. Friends, that's a powerful text right there. Question. Do you want God to be your father? Brother Bonner, he's already my father. Then act like it. Act like it. Think like him. Be like him. Because one thing I know about my Father which is in heaven, he does all things well. That's the Father in heaven. And friends, that's not what some of these preachers are preaching. They're preaching a different type of father. But if we're not preaching the father that's in the Bible, wrong father. You know what that also tells me? I don't care what comes my way. I'll make it. Doesn't matter if I can't get a job. Doesn't matter if I can't get a spouse. Doesn't matter if I just can't get over certain things in my path. All that don't matter. What matters is God my Father. That's what matters. And will I allow him to be a father to me? Will I allow that? That's what matters. So, you know what God would do in the old covenant? Nate, this is what God would do. He would tell his people, I was the one that brought you out of bondage. He would remind the people of God, I was the one that brought you out of Egyptian bondage. I was the one that brought you across the Red Sea. I was the one that brought you across the Jordan River. I was the one that did that. Why would God always remind his people where he brought them from? Because he didn't want them to go back. He didn't want them to go back into bondage. If you were baptized into Christ and you're a member of the Lord's church, I'm reminding you that God was the one that helped you, that caused you, that brought you out of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ and put you in his son's church. And when he did that, now it's my job as preacher to remind you where he brought you from. He brought you out of sin. And you know what that means? I owe my Father my life. And tonight, we're going to be talking about that father even more. And we're going to be talking about how he wanted to be a father to Israel. Our theme this year is generation to generation. You know what? We ought to be teaching the younger generation. This is what God did for us. Why you take communion every Lord's Day? Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. And God says we need to remember him every Lord's Day. Why do you give of your means, Dad? Because I'm giving my all, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 and 5. I'm giving to the cause of the kingdom of God. I'm establishing the kingdom that the kingdom of God can go forth and lost souls can be saved. Why are you doing those things from generation to generation? So we talk about those things. We heed to the instructions of God. We do the will of our Father. And friends, God definitely wants to be a father to us. What a great father we have. One thing I love about the Father in heaven, he's enough to focus on. And another thing I like about the Father in heaven, he's big enough for me to share with other people. That's why I take the gospel out. That's why you take the gospel out. That's why you live the life of Christ. And that's why you come out from among sin. But maybe you haven't. Let me talk to the children of God first. Maybe you haven't come out of sin. Maybe you're dabbling with sin. Let me beg you. Stop. Just stop. Don't do that. Jesus died for our sins. Let's not get involved with that would put him on the cross. But maybe you're not a child of God and you haven't been baptized into Christ. Maybe you've been told, well, you know, what I've been told, only that I need to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ. And and ask him in my heart. Jesus, who is the seed of God, Galatians 3, teaches that you have to be baptized in order to have your sins washed away. Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Friends, that's a message from the Father. John 12, verse 49. We don't back away from that message. Why? That's the message that puts one in a position for God to be their Father. Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you a member of the Lord's church? Are you of the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3, 26 through 29? We want to encourage you to do that. But maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. We want to do that. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.